Today I'm going to talk to you about the most beautiful voice you'll ever hear. It won't be your husband, won't be your wife, won't be your children. It'll be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what these brethren of Joseph experienced physically, you experience spiritually when God speaks to you. Genesis chapter 45, look again, verses 1 through 15, and then John chapter 5 and verse 25. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you of posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Now turn to John chapter 5, and look at me, if you will, verse 25. John chapter 5, verse 25. Here's the Lord Jesus again speaking these words. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is," and I like that. You ought to underline that in your Bible. "The hour is coming, and now is." All right, you're all in school, you young folks. "Now is the present tense." And that would be an intransitive verb. And it means it's continuously going on. "The hour is come, and now is," notice, "when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for thy mercy. We thank you for thy goodness. We thank you for letting us know thee. We thank you that the door of salvation is still open, and that, Lord, that the hour is come, and it now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And Lord, there's some here that you're quickening out of their dead condition. You're causing them to hear thy voice. And Lord, right now they're afraid and they're troubled and they're upset because, Lord, your voice is a voice of condemnation. But we pray today that thou wilt cause them to experience spiritually what the brothers of Joseph experienced physically when they met Joseph. Now work out thy purpose here in each heart and life. Strengthen every believer here. And Lord, forgive us where we fail thee, and help us to appreciate thee more, and Lord, listen more and more to thy voice, because truly, thou art our beloved one. We ask it now for thy glory, and in thy name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Our subject this morning, the most beautiful voice ever heard. The most beautiful voice ever heard is that not of a politician, nor of a parent, nor of a loved one, nor is it anything else. The most beautiful voice that's ever heard is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard it? I'm part, I'd say, of a strange generation. We came up through a depression, and we used to listen to the voice of President Roosevelt as he had his fireside track. And millions of people would gather around those radios, and they'd listen to him. And it really had an impact upon our country. And I remember so clearly when he told the voice, and he said, He said very clearly, he said, we've got to prepare for war. And I remember the first time he asked for 50,000 airplanes to be made in 1 year, and they just said it couldn't be done. Well, it was done. Now, that voice was a very important voice. Then it was stilled in death. And then we've heard other voices. I used to hear the voice of Edward R. Murrow on a commentary from London. And he would let us listen on the radio as we'd hear the bombs dropping and the sirens ringing as the people were going into the shelters, and we knew that there was war going on. And that was an important voice. And then we had another voice of another commentary, and I can't think of his name right now, but he was Gabriel Heater. Some of you remember him. And he used to also, he'd say, well, he said, there is joy in some place tonight, or there is sorrow in some place tonight. And those voices would catch your attention. And right now on the radio, people are listening to the voice of Rush Limbaugh. And they're hearing him. And his voice is catching your attention. But I'm going to tell you right now, the most beautiful voice and the voice that will catch your most attention is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he is the voice of my beloved one. That's why I had you read 2 Samuel chapter 2 this morning. And this morning, for a few moments, we're going to look at the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke to the brothers of Joseph through Joseph. And my friend, I want to say to you very kindly, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak to you in the same way that the brothers of Joseph had Joseph speaking to him. Now, what happened to them physically will happen to you spiritually. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to come when you least expect it. And as we look at the voice today, we're going to look at two things. First of all, we're going to see how the Lord sees every sinner just before redemption. Every sinner just before redemption. And then secondly, we're going to hear the voice that is heard in the heart. Now the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now that voice is not an audible voice. It's an inner voice. It's a voice that speaks to your soul. You may be sitting in a row of like people today. Your whole row might be filled with people. You might be the only one that'll hear that voice. But you'll know that voice when it comes. And when it does come, it'll speak to you in the innermost recesses of your soul, and it'll have certain results. Now, as we look at them this morning, we're going to look very clearly, and we see that the brothers of Joseph stood before Joseph, portraying how a sinner stands before the Lord Jesus Christ just before God saves that sinner. Now, how in the world is this all about, all right? We find in Genesis chapter 44, go back now, Genesis 44, and look at verses 13 down through verse 18. Notice what it says. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Know ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Now let's stop right here. What you have here is a picture of a sinner just before that sinner is converted. Now, how does God see that sinner? Well, the brothers of Joseph were this way. There were three things that stood out about them. Number one, they were guilty. Number two, they were helpless. And number three, they were afraid. Now, how do you know that? We find in verse 16, look at their guilt. What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Now there you have their guilt. Secondly, we find they were helpless. Again, the same verse. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves or servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And then we find in verse 18, we see the third thing about them. They were guilty, they were afraid, and they were helpless. In verse 18 we read, then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Well, what do you have here? No presumption here. They were guilty. They were afraid. They were helpless. And when God sets out to save a sinner, He makes that sinner guilty. He makes that sinner afraid. He makes that sinner helpless. Now, what's that sinner guilty of? His own personal sin. He knows that he's a sinner before God. He knows absolutely he's guilty. Absolutely guilty, and his mouth is stopped because the Lord God of heaven takes the law of God, writes it on the deepest recesses of the sinner's heart, and we find very clearly the sinner is made to become guilty before the Lord God of heaven. Then he's afraid. What's he afraid of? Number one, he's afraid to die. You say, what are you talking about? He's afraid to die, and I'll tell you why. He knows that if he leaves this world, he'll split hell wide open, so to speak, and he'll be there forever and ever. You see, you don't have to talk to an awakened sinner about the reality of hell. They'll tell you. They walk, as it were, on eggshells. Well, why? They're afraid that the next step they take will put them on that trap door that'll open and lead to hell, and they're afraid to walk on it. And I'll tell you right now, many of them become so afraid they don't even want to drive their automobile. They're afraid to die. And they're scared. And this is the way God works in the heart of an individual. And the reason they're afraid is because they see God for who He is, as the brothers of Joseph saw Joseph for who he is. Now, how did they see Joseph? They saw him as Lord of Egypt. Now, what's that mean? It meant this. He had absolute power. He had absolute authority. He had absolute sovereignty. And this is the way a sinner sees God. And he's afraid before the Lord God of heaven. Because the fear of the Lord is gripping his heart. And it's the fear of the Lord which is the beginning of wisdom. And we see the brothers of Joseph were that way. And so is a sinner just before redemption. Now, Pastor, how do you know? Well, you all know the story of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like as other men are, guilty. He said, I'm unjust, extortioners. And he says, I tithe of all that I possess, and so on and so forth. And then he looked and he said, I'm so thankful I'm not like that old publican. Oh, the Pharisee prayed, but I'm telling you right now, his prayer didn't go any higher than the ceiling. And then the publican stood and prayed. And how did he pray? He prayed from the deepest pathos and recesses of his soul. He couldn't lift up his eyes to heaven. He smote himself upon the breast. He stood afar off from the temple. He felt that he shouldn't be there. And yet he couldn't stay away. And all he could cry out from the deepest recesses of his soul and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, with regard to the publican, he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Now, beloved, if you've never stood before God in this category, then you've missed Holy Spirit conviction. When you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. When you miss repentance, you miss Christ. And when you miss Christ, you miss everything. Now, the brothers of Joseph experienced this physically. The next thing about them was this. They became a begging sinner. Now, they didn't know if Joseph would hear them or not. And are you listening? When God sets out and starts to deal the work of a sinner, that sinner will cry, and he'll beg, and he'll plead, and it seems like the heavens over him are as brass. God doesn't hear him. And at first, this is what a sinner does. The sinner says, all right, there's no use. God don't hear me anyway. But are you listening? When God gets a hold of him, he can't stop. They can't stop. Now, why does God do this? Well, first of all, usually, when God first deals with a sinner, the sinner cries and tries to get out of the misery he's in. That's all. He's miserable. There's no joy in his heart. There's no smile on his face. The sinner feels, as it were, that nobody loves him. Well, that's not true. But you see, that's his idea. And the reason it's his idea is because he has never had dawn upon him, and it won't until God does, that God loves him. Now, how come? Because, you see, the sinner's never heard of God, really. And when an individual first starts to hear about the things of God, they probably say, well, that might be for you, but that's not for me. But when God begins to apply it to their heart, I'll tell you right now, they also began to do what? They began to beg. God doesn't take them out of their misery right away. You know why? I'll tell you. He's teaching them very clearly that God is sovereign. Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Well, the worst thing that people hate on this, on the face of this earth today is the sovereignty and the election of God. Now, man hates that. Man hates to be told that he can't make God do anything for him. He doesn't want to hear that. And we find the majority of our religious people today, they would have you believe that God is at the sinner's disposal, when in reality, it's the other way around. And this is what Joseph did to his brothers. He brought them unto himself. How? Guilty, helpless, and afraid. And then at the same time, follow me closely now, there was a cry put in their heart. Now, where in the world do you find that? Genesis chapter 44, look again at verse 18. Notice, in verse 18, then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Now, what in the world do you have here? All right, here is Judah representing his brothers, and really he was crying out in their behalf. You know what he was doing? He was pleading and begging to be heard. You see, when a sinner first starts crying, it seems as though God doesn't pay any attention to him. But don't you kid yourself. God does. Just because he doesn't answer you right away, well, let me give you the physical aspect of it, if I may. The first time your baby ever makes a whimper, do you run away, jump on, and answer it? Or the first time an individual, your son or your daughter comes to you and says, Dad or Mama, I need to, do you really jump and say, here? If you do, you're making the biggest mistake you can. The other day, my wife and I were in, I don't know what it was, some store of some sort, and she came to me because she just kind of shook her head in disgust. And there was a lady there and had a little baby, boy or girl, forgetting what it was, but in the cart. And I mean, that cart was just loaded with toys. And the individual wasn't satisfied. And my wife heard the mother say, well, now, I hope this will take enough. I hope this will be all right. Just remember, I've only got $60 to spend for your birthday. Now, who's in charge? That little brat, that's what it is. And who made him that way? The parents did. You see, being a good parent, I'm going to tell you this. You'll know what it means to say no, and you'll know what it means to say yes, and I'll tell you right now, your parents will learn that, and God teaches us the same thing. He teaches us beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's not at our beck and call, but we are at his. And so what does he do? He makes the sinner wallow, as it were, in his misery. He makes the sinner cry unto the Lord God of heaven, and he makes the sinner to understand that he's a sovereign God, and he doesn't have to answer, and he shows that sinner that if he ever gets saved, it will be a pure, free, sovereign, irresistible, personal grace. You ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're in this category now. I have a good word to say to you, and that is this. Keep on crying until the answer comes. Will it come? Yes or no? You bet your life it'll come. Well, how do you know, preacher? Because every one of us has gone this way. Now, you see, this is what God does. And this is what happened to Joseph's brothers. But now turn, if you will, again to Genesis chapter 45. And you look with me. You see, these brothers of Joseph, they were begging and crying before the Lord. And in Luke chapter 8, in verses 26 through 28, you have the same illustration of an individual begging for the Lord God of heaven. And then in Genesis chapter 45, we find in verses 1 through 3. Now notice. Notice what happened. Notice these words. Then Joseph could not refrain himself. Now why not? Well, I'll tell you. These brothers, unbeknownst to them, they were the object of Joseph's undying love. Now you say, wait a minute. No, that's right. You mean they were in that misery? And Joseph loved them? Well, you know, if you love somebody, you're going to give them everything they want. You're never going to cross their will. And, oh, you're just going to let them do what they want to do to you. Now, that's your modern philosophy of today. But are you listening? God's love is a disciplinary love. It's strict. Now, let's soak in. And our Lord tells us very clearly that if we love our children, we correct them, don't we? We don't spare the rod. That doesn't mean we beat them. But if necessary, we use the rod. Oh, I know, this is far cry from today. But I'm going to tell you, this is what God does. And God does the same thing when he deals with a sinner in conviction. He makes that sinner to stand before him guilty, afraid, and helpless. He makes that sinner to stand before him pleading and begging to be heard, as well as begging for mercy. And then we find he does that because the individual is an object of God's eternal, undying love. Now you say, wait a minute. Well, when God puts the sinner in that condition, the same thing happens to the Lord God of heaven as it happened to Joseph. We find Joseph had those men at his feet. They were pleading and begging for mercy and pleading because of their guilt and being afraid. And then we find in Genesis chapter 45 these words. Then. Now look at it. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now, if you have any kind of spiritual eyesight, you can cross-reference this with Luke chapter 15 and verse 21 and 2. So you ought to turn to it for a moment and let me show you the relationship between the two. Luke chapter 15 and in verse 21 and 22, we find the Word of God tells us these things, and you'll see how it ties in beautifully with Genesis chapter 45. In Luke chapter 15, I'll correct myself, and it's verse 20 and 21, instead of 21 and 2. Now notice, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And this is the only time God gets in a hurry. You say, what in the world are you talking about? When our Lord sees a sinner at the end of his rope, coming to the end of himself, an object of pure mercy, having nothing, knowing nothing, being nothing, but a poor, guilty, hell-deserving, good-for-nothing, pleading sinner, then God gets in a hurry. And when the prodigal son came this way, his father saw him, and we read, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know why? He had compassion on him. Now hold your seat again. As the brothers of Joseph were an object of undying love on the part of Joseph, so everyone that the Lord God of heaven brings down this road, he brings them down this road because they are the object of God's eternal undying love. Well, now we've had preachers, you know, and they come along. Well, if I preached the way you did, I wouldn't have any hope for anybody. I have every bit of hope for you. You see, those that have never been under conviction, you have no hope for. God puts the person under conviction to teach them, to show them, and to save them. And without Holy Spirit conviction, there's no repentance. Without repentance, there's no Christ. Without Christ, there's no salvation. Because repentance and faith come together. Now then, Joseph could not refrain himself. And what did he do? He said, cause every man to go out from among me. And every one of his servants, including his army, because he always had a bodyguard with him, they all went outside. And Joseph stood alone with his 11 brethren. And he revealed himself to their heart. And you know what he said? He said these words, and it became a beloved voice that they heard. The first thing he said was this, I am Joseph, your brother. Is my father yet alive? Now, what in the world do you have here? Well, you have here the voice that is heard in the heart portrayed by Joseph.
Now, if you're saved here today, I'm going to tell you right now.
You've heard this voice.
And you want to know something? There's different aspects to this voice. Now, preacher, what is it? All right, take your Bibles now and go back to Genesis 45. We probably won't even have to go out of this chapter anymore. But in Genesis chapter 45, we'll show you the very aspects of the beloved voice, that the most beautiful voice that these brothers ever heard, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the most beautiful voice you'll ever hear. Now you say, Pastor, what were you talking about? Well, first of all, in Genesis chapter 45, we read in verse 3, And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now what do you have here, all right? The first aspect of this voice was this. It was a voice of pardon and peace. You remember when God spoke to you? You remember when you heard his voice? And you heard his voice of pardon and peace. What happened? I'll tell you. Your conviction is gone. You're no longer under condemnation. Well, why not? You've heard the voice of pardon and peace. And our Lord still says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how does it come about? Well, I'll tell you how it comes about. God speaks this to the heart of the individual. Take your Bibles and keep your finger on Genesis 45 and turn to Luke chapter 8, if you will. Luke chapter 8. And look at me and you'll see it set forth for our learning. Luke chapter 8, and notice what it says. In Luke chapter 8, we find verse 46 through verse 48. Listen to it. And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now notice the voice of Christ. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Be of good comfort. Why? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And if you're saved here today, I'm going to tell you right now, you heard God's voice speaking to you in that manner. He may have said, as it were, you might say the very same words. Because what does he do? You see, the voice of our beloved one is the Word of God. And when God saves a sinner, you know what he does? He takes his Word and he applies it to that sinner's heart. And that sinner knows that the Lord God of heaven has spoken to him indelibly and individually and absolutely. And I'll tell you right now, at the same time, God does what? He shows that sinner that it's my voice that's talking to you. And then he reaps, or I should say, he puts in the results of that voice. And what is it? It was a voice of pardon and peace. The second aspect about the voice was this. It was a voice of preservation and privilege. Now you say, wait a minute. Genesis chapter 45, go back to it. Look at verse 7. Here you have the voice of preservation and privilege. And God sent me before you to preserve you of posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then in verse 11, And there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Now what do you have here? You have the voice of privilege and preservation. What did Joseph say? First of all, he spoke to them and he said, Now don't be grieved. God has sent me before you to preserve life. It was not you that sent me into Egypt. It was God. In other words, the voice of Joseph became a voice of pardon and peace to those brothers. Now, at first, they were troubled. Every sinner is at first is troubled. Well, why? It's just too good to believe. It is. Until it happens. And then God dawns it on your heart. And then we find it's a voice of preservation and privilege. Now you say, wait a minute. No. Christ speaks this to the believer because what does he say? Well, here's the voice of preservation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, what ought to be emphasized is this. There is therefore now
present tense. No condemnation. Satan can't condemn you. The world can't condemn you. The devil can't condemn you. The law can't condemn you. The attributes and justice of God can't condemn you. You know why? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you are, there's no condemnation. It's gone. And I'll tell you something else. It can never come back. Now why? It's a voice of preservation, and it's a voice of privilege. Now you say, wait a minute. How in the world do you find this again? Look with me, if you will, in verse 11. Genesis 45. And there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about here? All right, you have the voice of preservation and privilege. Now, notice, I will nourish thee. Now, that's what Joseph told his brother. What does the Lord say? The Lord says in John chapter 10 very clearly, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's preservation and privilege. And not only that, we become what? The sons of God. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your heart, crying, Abba, Father, what a privilege! And what a preservation! And that's what Joseph's brother had. They experienced it physically. You and I have it spiritually, and it lasts much longer, doesn't it? All right, the third thing about this voice was this. It was a voice of power and a voice of pleasure. Now you say, wait a minute. Genesis chapter 45, look at verse 12. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, and it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Now in verse 24, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And then in verse 28, we read, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, what in the world do you have here? It's the voice of power and pleasure. Now, wait a minute. Joseph spake this unto his brothers. What did he say? He said, ye shall tell my father of my glory in Egypt. Now, they never argued with him. And are you listening? When God speaks to the heart of the individual isn't going to argue with God. Oh, they may for a moment or two. But the reason, it's a voice of power. And then, it's a voice of pleasure. I don't know how, did you enjoy reading seconds of the Song of Solomon today? My beloved is mine, and I am his. His left hand was under my head, and by his right arm, what did he do? He embraced. Now, what do you have there? You have there the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and me who know Him. What a God we have. Now, how come He embraces us? Because He loves us. He loves us. And oh, I know there are probably sinners in this room here today. You probably figure, God doesn't love me because I'm such a rotten sinner. That's the kind of sinners that God loves. And the reason He's showing you your condition before Him is because He does love you. If He didn't love you, He'd let you go. And then you'd go to hell like a robin to its nest when it's going to feed the young. But our Lord loves us, and we find very clearly Joseph spoke with a voice of power and pleasure, and the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing to the heart of an individual when our Lord reaches down and redeems him, all right? And then the fourth thing about this voice was this. It was a voice of prominence and peculiarity. Now, wait a minute.
Are you listening?
The brothers knew it was the voice of Joseph. Now, when at first they heard it, they were afraid. They were troubled at his presence. But skip down, if you will, to Genesis chapter 45 and look at verses 14 and 15. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And then in verse 26, we read again. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now hold your seat. And let me give you this, if I may. When they heard the voice of Joseph at first, I'll tell you right now, they were afraid. Why? Because Joseph was dealing with them roughly. They knew it was a voice of prominence. Well, how come? Joseph was Lord over Egypt. And what God does in the heart of an individual when he first begins to speak that individual, he gets that individual's attention. And that individual knows beyond the shadow of a doubt it is the voice of prominence. Who's speaking to him? God is. You can't explain it. You can't define it in so many terms. But I'm going to tell you this. When God speaks to you, you hear his voice. And you know it's the voice of prominence. And you know also it's the voice of peculiarity. Because when you go around and tell somebody, well, you know, the Lord God of heaven is speaking to me and showing me that I'm a lost sinner. They look at you as if to say, oh, you're crazy. God doesn't deal with people that way. But he does. And it's a voice of peculiarity. It singles you out. And it's a peculiar voice. And you know why? The Lord Jesus sums it all up for us in John chapter 10. And this is what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Let me ask you a question today. Is God speaking to you? Is he showing you that you're a poor, lost, guilty, helpless, crying, pleading sinner? He's doing it because I'm going to tell you this. He's in the process of calling you out and showing you that you're one of his sheep. And only the sheep hear the voice of God. The goats never hear it. But the sheep of God hear the voice of God. My hope is that you're hearing his voice today, because I'm going to tell you right now, it is a voice of prominence. And it's a voice of peculiarity. Now, what was so peculiar about it? Well, look at what Joseph said. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph said very clearly, verse 4, come near unto me. And then we find in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then in verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And notice these words. And thou shalt be near unto me. Isn't that precious? Thou shalt be near unto me. Oh, are you hearing God's voice today? Here's the purpose of it. God wants you to bring you so close to him that you can't separate. You see, you'll become, when the Lord saves you, you'll become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he'll be your head. And I'll tell you right now, you'll be so close to him that the Lord God of heaven himself will indwell you. And it's a voice of what? It's a voice of peculiarity. And it's a voice of prominence. And then, one more thing, and I saved this till last. But it is also, listen now, it will also be one day a voice of perception and punishment. Now, who's that for? That's for those that never get converted. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in Genesis chapter 45, and look with me, in verse 5, notice what he said. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. All right, now what do you have here? What Joseph knew what they did. They couldn't cover it up. They covered it up to their father.
By sending, by taking Joseph's garment and putting the blood of a goat in it and sending it on to, to their father and said, this we have found. Know now whether or not this is thy son. All right, but now look, Joseph is revealing himself to them. And listen, sinner, the day's going to come when you're going to hear the voice of God. And it'll either be a voice that I've described or it will be a voice of perception and punishment, because I'm going to tell you right now, God keeps the book. He knows every evil thought, word, and deed you have ever done or ever will do. And when a sinner stands at the great white throne judgment, and that's where sinners will stand, the books will be open. There won't be a word of protest, whatever. Because God's voice is a voice of perception. He knows all about it. He formed us before we were ever brought about out of our mother's body. He knows exactly your personality. What it's going to be now, what it is 10 years from now, what it was 10 years ago. It's the voice of perception. Don't try to hide from God. It can't be done. And at that time, when it does take place, it will be a voice. A punishment. Well, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, an individual is going to hear the voice. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to notice this. In Matthew chapter 7, an individual is going to hear the voice of Christ one day. Now, why do I say that? Because at the great white throne judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to administer the judgment. God the Father has given all judgment into the hands of Christ the Son. And in Matthew chapter 7, look with me if you will. And look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now notice what's going to happen. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, what's the Lord Jesus going to say? He's going to say to every sinner that never gets saved, he's going to hold up the books and all their works are going to be registered before him. And some of them are going to say, well, Lord, I was a preacher and I did this and I did that. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak and say very clearly, I never knew you. And he's going to add something to it. You'll find it also in Matthew. He will say to them on the left hand, because that's where you'll be. He will say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Every person's going to hear the voice of God. You'll hear it as the voice of your beloved one, or you will hear it as the voice of perception and punishment. Well, now some of you believers are going to sit back and you're just kind of comfortable, you know, and you're going to say, well, I've heard the voice of God. Well, all right, let me ask you a question. You still hearing it? Well, no, you're not. If you're still not hearing his voice, there's something wrong. Because I want to tell you point blank, the voice of our beloved. When they heard the voice of Joseph at first, I'll tell you right now, they were afraid. Why? Because Joseph was dealing with them roughly. They knew it was the voice of prominence. Well, how come? Joseph was Lord over Egypt. And what God does in the heart of an individual when he first begins to speak that individual, he gets that individual's attention. And that individual knows beyond the shadow of a doubt it is the voice of prominence. Who's speaking to him? God is. You can't explain it. You can't define it in so many terms. But I'm going to tell you this. When God speaks to you, you hear his voice. And you know it's the voice of prominence. And you know also it's the voice of peculiarity. Because when you go around and tell somebody, well, you know, the Lord God of heaven is speaking to me and showing me that I'm a lost sinner. They look at you as if to say, oh, you're crazy. God doesn't deal with people that way. But he does. And it's the voice of peculiarity. It singles you out. And it's a peculiar voice. And you know why? The Lord Jesus sums it all up for us in John chapter 10. And this is what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Let me ask you a question today. Is God speaking to you? Is he showing you that you're a poor, lost, guilty, helpless, crying, pleading sinner? He's doing it because I'm going to tell you this. He's in the process of calling you out and showing you that you're one of his sheep. And only the sheep hear the voice of God. The goats never hear it. But the sheep of God hear the voice of God. My hope is that you're hearing his voice today, because I want to tell you right now, it is a voice of prominence. And it's a voice of peculiarity. Now, what was so peculiar about it? Well, look at what Joseph said. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph said very clearly, verse 4, come near unto me. And then we find in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then in verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And notice these words. And thou shalt be near unto me. Isn't that precious? Thou shalt be near unto me. Oh, are you hearing God's voice today? Here's the purpose of it. God wants you to bring you so close to him that you can't separate. You see, you'll become, when the Lord saves you, you'll become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he'll be your head. And I'll tell you right now, you'll be so close to him that the Lord God of heaven himself will indwell you. And it's a voice of what? It's a voice of peculiarity. And it's a voice of prominence. And then, one more thing, and I save this till last. But it is also, listen now, it will also be, one day, a voice of perception and punishment. Now, who's that for? That's for those that never get converted. You say, preacher, what and who are you talking about? Well, in Genesis chapter 45, and look with me, in verse 5, notice what he said. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. All right, now what do you have here? What Joseph knew what they did. They couldn't cover it up. They covered it up to their brother, or I should say to their father, by taking Joseph's garment and putting the blood of a goat in it and sending it on to their father, and said, this we have found. Know now whether or not this is thy son. All right, but now look. Joseph is revealing himself to them. And listen, sinner, the day's going to come when you're going to hear the voice of God. And it'll either be a voice that I've described, or it will be a voice of perception and punishment, because I want to tell you right now, God keeps the book. He knows every evil thought, word, and deed you have ever done or ever will do. And when a sinner stands at the great white throne judgment, and that's where sinners will stand, the books will be open. There won't be a word of protest whatever. Because God's voice is a voice of perception. He knows all about it. He formed us before we were ever brought about out of our mother's body. He knows exactly your personality. What it's going to be now, what it is 10 years from now, what it was 10 years ago. It's the voice of perception. Don't try to hide from God. It can't be done. And at that time, when it does take place, it will be a voice of punishment. Well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, an individual's going to hear the voice. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to notice it. In Matthew chapter 7, an individual's going to hear the voice of Christ one day. Now, why do I say that? Because at the great white throne judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to administer the judgment. God the Father has given all judgment into the hands of Christ the Son. And in Matthew chapter 7, look with me if you will, and look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now notice what's going to happen. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, what's the Lord Jesus going to say? He's going to say to every sinner that never gets saved, he's going to hold up the books and all their works are going to be registered before him. And some of them are going to say, well, Lord, I was a preacher and I did this and I did that. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak and say very clearly, I never knew you. And he's going to add something to it. You find it also in Matthew. He will say to them on the left hand, because that's where you'll be. He will say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Every person is going to hear the voice of God. You'll hear it as the voice of your beloved one. Or you will hear it as the voice of perception and punishment. Well, now some of you believers are going to sit back and you're just kind of comfortable, you know. And you're going to say, well, I've heard the voice of God. Well, all right, let me ask you a question. You still hearing it? Well, no, you're not. If you're still not hearing his voice, there's something wrong. Because I want to tell you point blank, the voice of our beloved is, hold your seat now, the word of God. Now, you believers, you slack in reading it, then you don't hear the voice of Christ. You know why? You substituted his voice for something else, and it's not going to last you. The voice of our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the word of God. And I'll tell you, like I tell the people on the radio, I said, God's people do two things. Number one, they read and study his word, and number two, they pray. And some of you so-called believers here, you're not doing much of either one. And you're missing out. You're missing out. And if you be honest with me, you'll find out there's little or no joy in your heart because you're missing out of hearing the voice of our beloved. You see, Christ is our beloved one. And the word of God is his voice. It's a word of blessing and bliss. And oh, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, and you read, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Oh, what words of blessing and bliss and beauty, and how wonderful it is to sit down, read his word. And like the Song of Solomon, the voice of my beloved is heard. I am his, and he is mine. His left hand is under my head, and by his right hand he does what? He embraces me. Oh, you say, now, aren't you getting kind of sentimental? No. It's a reality. You walk in fellowship with the Lord God of. Now let me close. My time's gone. Have you heard his voice? How about it? Have you heard his voice? Are you hearing it now? Is he speaking to you like Joseph spoke to his brothers on a rough manner? Is he making you, as it were, go from one end to the other, and it seems that you're at wit's end and you don't know what to do and where to turn? All right, we'll just tell you, the only thing you can do is cry for mercy. And I'm going to listen very carefully. Don't you stop crying. Don't you stop crying till that answer comes. And if you really are hearing the voice of God, I'm going to tell you this, you can't stop trying. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't you stop. Your soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake. And as our Lord deals with you, just keep crying. Lord, be merciful to me, and don't stop. And make much of his word. Christ is revealed to you. Out of the volume of the book, it's written of me. A lot of people, you know, they think emotion is salvation. That's not it. Christ is revealed to you, to your heart, all by his voice. And his voice comes through this book, which is the voice of our beloved. And I'll tell you right now, sinner, look at him. He's coming, skipping upon the hills and upon the mountains. And what's he doing? He's going to come to the latchet of your heart's door. And as he does, he'll begin to call you. And all my cry is, all that you hear, his voice. And then you'll rise up, and later on you'll be able to say with us, the voice of my beloved. I am his, and he is mine. Oh, I hope you've heard his voice today. And if you haven't, I hope that you are. And as I said before, don't stop suing and seeking for mercy until the answer.